Amen, amen. I'm going to get started by asking everyone to repeat after me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. Amen. God knows us, doesn't he? We've come this morning rejoicing and thanking God for this another opportunity to study, another opportunity to bow down and give God the glory, honor, and praise. I want to thank those men who have gone before me. Appreciate the dynamic duo. We've got several dynamic duos. This one was Brother Brian Collins, and he just continues to get better and better. And Brother Jameson Rose, who is encouraging and doing some teaching, and we appreciate the two of them this morning for the songs that have been rendered. I want to thank Brother Kwesi Webb for the announcements. Also, and Kwesi is one of our deacons. I like to make the congregation aware when you see these men up. These are our deacons, these are our elders, and so forth. But also appreciative of prayer, we had Brother Andre Moore, who led us in prayer, and we appreciate the prayer. Also, we had reading of God's word from Brother Darrell Shackelford, and so these men have done a great job. Just have a few things to mention to you before I share the message with you this morning. One of the things is we want to welcome all of our visitors. Whenever you're here, and I didn't receive any visitors cards, but if there are any who are visiting, I want you to know that we appreciate your presence, and indeed you are an honored guest. Do I have any visitors to my left who would like to be acknowledged? If so, please stand and tell us who you are, where you're from. Do I have any to my right? Okay. All right. You either claim us or we're all home, folks. It's good to see, and she disappeared on me, but I'm sure she's around. There she is over on the side there. It's good to see Sister Crawford, who's with us. She's stewardess and all that good stuff. Flight attendant, they call them now. And so it's good to have her back in our midst. I want to mention, I'm excited about a couple of things. I hope you are too. We've got the next 2 weeks are going to be power-packed here at Redford. We have a vacation Bible school that's kicking off, and we're just going to have a great time with that. 3 days of that, and then an annual church picnic, and I'm sure others will have more to say about it detail-wise, but I'm just saying I'm excited about it, and I hope you are too. And tell somebody about it and bring somebody. Let's have a good time as we have our vacation Bible school and as we have our church picnic. And then if that's not enough, we got a Love in Action giveaway. We're going to give away about 200 backpacks, school supplies. School supplies are starting to come in. We're filling up that table. We want to fill up the table, run it over, and just have an excellent time. Sister Antonia Kitchen takes care of counting up and sorting and getting it all together. And this year she's going to have Sister Dawson help out with that. And so we're just getting ready to have an excellent time. We're going to have a parking lot picnic. So set up some tables, set up some canopy for whoever receives a backpack and school supplies, have a chance to sit down, and we'll have a chance to mingle with them. So we're looking forward to that great opportunity to interact with the community, and I hope you are too. I want to also say the elders are pleased to announce that the air conditioning was fixed last week, finished up, matter of fact, Saturday, and we are appreciative to Brother Robert Moore's son-in-law, Brother Spurgeon Rouse. He does heating, ventilation, air conditioning with the city of Detroit, and he did an excellent job. And so The air's working in here. Everybody, last week, you know, sometimes some people fan. But last week, everybody was fanning. and so everybody's not fanning today. So we're better off. Again, we thank you for your indulgence on that. Turn in your Bibles once again to Ezekiel chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 16, I'm going to begin as I read this morning. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning at verse 16 from the New American Standard. The Bible says, "At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you will not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. And again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. And his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you warn the righteous man, and that righteous man shall not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. You have delivered yourself." As we consider this scripture this morning, God called the prophet Ezekiel. And God gave Ezekiel a daunting task. God told him to go and to preach to a rebellious nation. Told him to go and to preach to people who would not listen to him, to people who would not pay attention to his message. When we look around us today, one might think that no one is listening to God. I've got a word this morning that I hope you can appreciate. The message this morning is entitled, "The Watchman." As I begin, I think further examination of the text would give us a few things. God called Ezekiel to be a watchman to the house of Israel, to the nation that he had taken and put under his wings, that he had separated from all the other nations, that he had built up and made an empire of, a people who were not a people, but who became known as a people. God sent Ezekiel to this nation. And he says, I want you to be a watchman to the house of Israel. Let me talk about a watchman for a minute. Is that all right? The watchman in the Old Testament times was one who's stands on guard, or he stood on guard. Ancient cities had a person stationed on the highest part of the city wall. Their responsibility was to sound a warning if an enemy or a messenger was approaching. And they also, in the area of vineyards and fields, had a watchman. Especially during the harvest time, The watchman would have a tower that would elevate him high so that he might look down and be able to see for a long distance. The responsibility was to guard the produce and warn if there were animals or thieves that might be approaching. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 10, Uzziah, one of the kings, built towers on the wall, and he built towers in the wilderness, just to give you an example of how that was happening. Ezekiel, as God's prophets and God's other prophets, were called to be spiritual watchmen. They were not called to watch over the crops. They were not called to look out for animals, but they were called to look out for spiritual wickedness. They were called to warn an individual when they had gone astray to get back on track. Is that all right? You guys kind of getting this morning? I'm talking about a watchman. And let us notice a little further. As God's spiritual watchmen, they were to warn the nation of God's approaching judgment. And if the people did not repent, they were to warn them that if you continue on your way, it's not going to be pretty. They were to warn them that it's time to change direction because it's not going to look good. Today we have warning signs as you travel the highways and byways. Sometimes a warning sign might say detour. Sometimes a warning sign might say that the road is out ahead. When there are catastrophes or natural calamities that happen, sometimes roads might get closed because of rock slides and other things, water over roads. And if you see a sign that says, stop, don't go any further, it might be a good idea not to go any further. Amen? Almost every time we see a lot of rain, we see people stranded in their cars. We see individuals having to be rescued because they didn't get the warning. They saw the water, or maybe there was a sign, but the warning didn't register that they need to stop and change direction. This morning, I'm talking about a spiritual watchman. God made Ezekiel to be a spiritual watchman for the house of Israel. But it's already been established that, you know, sometimes because we are free, because we are 21 and above, sometimes we just don't pay any attention to God. Isn't that right? Sometimes we ignore God. And such was the case with Israel. Israel did not listen to God. They heard the warnings. They had the opportunity to change. They had all of the time that they needed, but they did not listen to God. You know, being free brings on some responsibility. You can do any, you know, we go through this with young people. They get to the point when they say, I'm grown now, and you can't tell me what to do. And so they start flipping out and acting crazy. But understand one thing. You may be grown now, but whatever you do, there's a consequence that's going to stare you in the face. And so we need to be careful about that. Whenever we decide that we can ignore God, it's a bad decision. Amen? In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 17, listen to God as he talks with Israel. He says, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. You see, Israel was just acting up. They were just showing out. They were just acting like we do. Amen. You don't want to amen that one. That's okay. Let us remember that when we choose not to listen to God, it's not a pretty picture. The end is not going to be good at all. And for that reason, we need to make a determination. You see, Joshua, when he had taken reins of the people of Israel at one time, he had to set the folks straight. You know, he said, hey, look at here. In Joshua 24 and verse number 15, he says, it might seem disagreeable. If it's disagreeable for you to not serve the Lord, if you choose to serve God's on the other side of the river, or if you choose to serve gods of the Amorites, he said, you go ahead and do that. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, if you want to get out there on that limb, if you want to ignore plain old road signs that are easy to see, if you want to be foolish about the matter, then you go ahead and do it. But I know too much. I understand too much. And I love God too much. So as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. I wish there were more people today who were like Joshua, who would make that determination that if you want to go out there and ignore God, then you go ahead. If you want to live a wretched life, then you go ahead. But as far as I'm concerned, I know what's right. And I'm going to keep on serving God. The watchman. The watchman had a vital job. He had to warn at all times. He had to warn night or day. The watchman was stationed on the wall. He was stationed on the wall when it rained. He was stationed on the wall when it was nice and sunny outside. He still had to remain on the wall. And there's a reason why God wanted Ezekiel to be a watchman. Why he specifically picked him up and dusted him off and said, I want you to stand as a watchman for my people. When we look at the second chapter, we see some background information leading up to this call of the prophet. In Ezekiel 2 and verse number 5, we see where God has this conversation with him. Beginning in verse number 1, he says, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And around about verse number 3, he says, I'm sending you, son of man, to a rebellious people. I'm sending you to your folks. I'm sending you to people who have a track record of not obeying me. I'm sending you to rebellious and stubborn and obstinate children that I call my own. Verse number 5, he says, as for them, whether they listen or not, he says, for they are a rebellious house. He says, they will know that a prophet has been among them. He says, I'm making you a watchman. I'm sending you to them to sound the warning so that they might know that a prophet has been among them. Not a false prophet, but a true prophet. Not someone who prophesied and said he dreamed a dream and heard a word from the Lord when he didn't hear nothing, but someone who had received the word out of God's own mouth. I'm sending you someone so that you will have no excuse. I'm sending you among the people. And folks, sometimes we don't understand why God has the church in the world today. We don't understand why God has Christians in the world today. It's because so that they might know that a prophet, a true prophet, is among them. People don't understand why we got to be the way we are in the Church of Christ. Well, I'll tell you why. So that the world and all the other folks who pretend to know God might know that there's a true church among them. And so they'll be without excuse. You see, we're quick to say, well, God, you didn't tell me. Well, God, I didn't have nothing but bad examples. Well, God, all the folks on my street were dope dealers and all this other stuff. But I sent you someone who stood up. Someone who stood above the crowd. I sent you someone who you could see as an example. I sent you someone who came in my name. I sent you someone who would proclaim my word so that you'd have no excuse. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, the Bible talks about that, how that there was a time when people worshiped God and made up things from their hands. How that they made idols, how that they painted them, and how that they then bowed down to them. But the Bible says, as Paul was talking to them, he says, the time of this sickness God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because God has chosen a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And wherein he has given assurance unto all because he raised him from the dead. God took away the excuse, amen? You see, the church is in the world today, the Lord's church, because the people need to know that there's a prophet among them. They need to know that the church that Christ established is among them. When they look out and see all of the confusion and all of the stuff that's to say, that's not in the Bible. They need to see one that they can find in the Bible. Amen? You sometimes wonder, and sometimes we don't like it, when somebody stands higher than the rest. But sometimes you need someone to stand higher than the rest so that folks might know where home is, so folks might know where right is, so folks might know where salvation is. That's what God told the prophet. The people need to know that there's a prophet among them. We should not be affected by the response of those who hear. In Ezekiel chapter 2, once again, verses 6 and 7, he went on to prepare the prophet. He said to him, and you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. He says, but you speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house. God says to Ezekiel, you're going to get some trouble because of this, bro. It's not going to be easy for you. It's not going to be an easy task. Did you get what he said? He says, don't you fear. Man up. Square your shoulders. Straighten your jaw. Lift your head. Tighten your body. Get ready. He says, but don't fear. Don't fear their words. Even though you might be in thistles and thorns Oh, and they're pricking you on this side and that side and every side. And though you may be sitting on scorpions, they bite. He says, you just teach my word. Because I made you a watchman. I have lifted you up. I have elevated you. I have made you someone that's a representative of me. You just keep on saying my words. We should not be affected by the response of those who hear. We see in several places in the watchman in action. In 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 17 through 20, we see an example there of how the watchman was calling out and making known that things were happening, that messengers were coming. In 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 26, here's an example with David. It says, now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. And the watchman called and told the king, and the king said, if he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth. You see, they were accustomed to having a watchman. They were accustomed to having someone who could elevate themselves and see a little further down the road than anyone else. They were accustomed to having this so that they might be able to make the proper decision, so that they might be able to prepare themselves in the right way, so that they might receive the news that would be coming their way. And they even made propositions about it based on how the person was coming. David was wrong, by the way, in this case. It was bad news. It was bad news because he lost those that he loved. The messenger came bearing. But I'm just pointing out to you, they were used to having a watchman. I think today that we have grown unaccustomed to having a watchman, grown unaccustomed to having someone who might elevate themselves and who might see a little bit further down the road and who might proclaim God's word, who might help prepare us for things that are to come. Let me just point out a little bit, indulge me, and then the lesson's going to be yours. Sometimes he had to blow his horn if there was impending danger. I'm talking about the watchman. The watchman blew his horn when dangerous animals were present. The watchman blew his horn when a foreign army approached. The watchman blew his horn so that everyone would be warned. Not just one or two, but he blew his horn when there was impending danger so that everyone might hear and know and prepare themselves. The watchman warned the wicked and he warned the righteous. I read in your hearing a few minutes ago how that he said, if you warn the wicked man, he says, and he does not turn from his wicked way, he says he will die in his sin. He said, but you have saved yourself. He says, if you warn the wicked man and the wicked man turns from his wickedness, he says, you have saved the wicked man from his unrighteousness. And he goes on to say, and you have saved yourself. But if you fail to tell the wicked man, if you fail to tell him, if you fail to blow your horn, if you fail to sound the warning, then he says, I will have. He will die in his sins. He ain't gonna escape just because you didn't tell him. You got that? He says, he will die in his sins. But his blood will I require at your hand. We can't sit back and try to do like Pilate and say, my hands are clean, your hands are dirty, if you haven't blown your horn. Your hands are dirty if you haven't spoken God's word. Your hands are dirty if you're not standing up and lifting yourself up to the best of your ability so that you might stand out and stand up just a little bit so people would know that there's a prophet among them There's someone who's living God's word. There's someone who's obeying God's word. There's someone who's teaching God's word. Anybody feeling me this morning? Thank you. Spiritual watchmen are needed. They were needed then and they're needed today. Faithful Christians are spiritual watchmen today. We have, just like Ezekiel, been called, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we've been called by the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been commissioned, as were the apostles, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to any and everyone. We've been commissioned, we've been called, we've been commissioned. We need spiritual watchmen today. Let me give you a news flash. Elders, bishops, overseers, shepherds are spiritual watchmen today. Did you get that? God has called them. God has lifted them. God has put them in position so that the people might know that there's a watchman in their midst. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul called the Ephesians elders over from Miletus, and he said in Acts 20 and verse 28, be on guard. Stand on the wall. Lift yourself up. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. As I said, shepherds, bishops, overseers, and elders have been called by God to be watchmen in his church. And folks, I use those terms because they're all the same thing. I hear people today walking around talking about, if you're a bishop, you're over a whole bunch of people. No, you ain't. Not if you're a spiritual bishop. Not if you are a spiritual shepherd. Not if you are a spiritual watchman according to God's word. But man has mingled and pulled and stretched and done every kind of thing with his word. But what should be the right thing to do with it? And that is to listen and obey. Let me share a couple more thoughts and the lesson is yours. Preachers and teachers are watchmen today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, the Bible says, preach the word, be in season, already in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But he told him, you avoid folks like that. You do just like the watchman. You get on your tower. You blow your horn. Sound the warning. Teach the word. Teach the word. If you teach the word, then God won't hold you accountable for other men's sins. Amen. That's powerful, church. I had to give you that this morning. We need to sound the warning. We need to blow our horn. Here's the last thought that I want to give you. Notice the success of the watchman depended on what he ate. The success of the watchman depended on what he ate. What are you talking about? Go to Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I'm giving you. And then I ate it. And here's the good part. He says, then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Here's the problem. Some of us have been given the scroll. Some of us have been given the word, but we're going, it's not sweet as honey in our mouth. And for that reason, we're not successful as a watchman. For that reason, sin overtakes us. For that reason, we're weak and we can't do anything to help anybody else, because we're too busy struggling with our own stuff. I'm getting too deep now. But let me just say this. The success of the watchman was because, and it depended on what he ate. Before Ezekiel could go, he had to eat the scroll. You see, by taking it and putting it in his mouth, by bringing it into his body, digesting it. See, how can he go and preach something that he doesn't believe? How can he go and tell somebody something that he has no faith in? How can he go and convict and convert and touch some hearts if it hasn't touched him? Huh? So, his success depended on what he ate. Success as a watchman today for you and me depends on what we eat. Can I get an amen? Amen. Have you eaten the book? You see, in that day, the word of God was written as a scroll. It was rolled up, and they would have to open it up, unroll it. But Ezekiel unrolled it, and he ate it. Spiritually speaking, you and I have to take this book right here, and we've got to eat it. We've got to make it go into our body, into our minds. We've got to make it become a part of us. Put it in our hearts. Put it in our souls and allow it to motivate our spirits. And then we can help somebody else. It depends on what we eat. Have you eaten the word of God? Listen, the Bible says, do you hunger, and I'm asking this, do you hunger and thirst for righteousness according to Matthew 5 and verse number 6? Have you treasured in your heart the word of God as David did in Psalms 119 and verse number 11? He treasured it, put it in his heart so that he might not sin against God. Are his words alive in you? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and their life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Only the words of God can make us alive. John 6 and 63. Jesus said on another occasion, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. John 6 and 53. So you want to see that one before you think I'm going crazy up here. John 6 and 53. He says, you have no life in you. Until we digest, until we really allow God's word to have its power, to have its effect, real life is not in us. It depends on being totally committed to Christ. Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus summed it up when he said, that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The watchman. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. The watchman is needed today. You and I have been called by God to be watchmen. But the question I leave with you this morning is this. Are you a watchman for the Lord? You've been called. You've been commissioned. God is expecting you to stand on the wall. God is expecting you to get in a position where you can see right and wrong. God is expecting you to be able to blow your trumpet, to be able to sound your horn when you see what's wrong. But if we haven't eaten the book, we're not going to be any use to God. Many are dying in sin. Many are going to a grave day after day because the watchmen are not sounding the warning. Folks you know, folks you love, have not heard the word. God has made us a watchman. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard the word. I blew my trumpet. You've heard the word this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and everything is summed up in Christ Jesus, without him there is no salvation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins. See, Israel had a problem. They wouldn't change their ways. Israel had a problem. They were hung up in the head. They wouldn't change their thinking. They wouldn't change their attitudes. They were stubborn. Sometimes we get in that mode. But let us not be like them. Because the prophet warned that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming for everyone. Whether it's when Christ returns again or whether it's when we breathe our last, judgment is coming. We need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Confess Christ before men. Be buried with him in baptism. It washes away your sins. Did you notice God said, I will not let you slide if you don't warn. God said, and I didn't even bring this part in, God said, even the righteous man, when he sins, if you got to warn him because all of his righteousness that he has done will not count if he sins and does not repent of it. Amen. That's what God said. And he says, you need to warn him. If you're here this morning, it's clear that God is not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here this morning and you know you need to make a change, if you're here this morning and you realize that where you have been, the church you've been going to, spiritual things that you have accepted are not in the word of God, I've made it clear that God has his people. God has the church of Christ today for a reason, so that the people might know that there is a prophet. So many folk, oh, them folk too strict. Them folk, they this and they that. They are just God's people. They are just doing what God tells them to do. And everyone who sees them, you are being convicted because there is a prophet. There are God's people among them. Come and be a part of the Lord's church. Come and render obedience to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you know that you have been better than you are now, you heard what God says about that. Your goodness in the past don't count for now. Keep on being good. Keep on doing right. Keep on doing good. That's what we have to do. The message is yours. God bless you. If you're here and you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.